the conversation between Vishnudutas and Yamadutas, the Vishnudutas brought a very, very important point. They said, "You Yamadutas, you only know the laws of the scriptures pertaining to the material world. But you have no knowledge of the laws given in the scriptures about the spiritual relationship of the living entity with God." Just like, for example, we may talk about morality, moral principles. We should not cheat anyone, we should not do corruption, we should take the money and we should use it properly without cheating anyone. Yes, this is a very good moral principle. If somebody doesn't do corruption in this world, he is considered a gentleman, good man. But even the gentleman's money also belongs to God. If he takes that money and uses without reference to God, that is called as honesty among thieves. Isn't it? So, the moral principles given in the scriptures for the people in this world are simply given to keep some law and order and peace in society. Though that is not the ultimate. That is like a candle in a dark room. But the real laws are in relation to Krishna, which are like a sun in the sky. Where is the candle? Where is the sun? So you see, sometimes inside a jail, there are some laws made. No thief should punch anybody, any other thief. No thief should take the plate of anyone else. No thief should take the chapel of anyone else. Yes, these are good laws kept within the jail. But this is kept in order to maintain some peace and order. Otherwise, they will all be pulling each other's hair and beating and punching and creating a commotion in the jail. So some laws are made so people inside the jail can live peacefully. Similarly, the morality principles, like Gandhi said, seven sins, that he said, like commerce without morality, putting pleasure before principle, or wealth without work, or this kind of things, Gandhi was saying, yes, these are good moral principles, but these have nothing to give and take with God. God is not in this picture at all, in this. So these are nothing better than the rules made for some thieves who are already atrocious fellows. That's why they put in the jail, some law and order is kept. But Vishnudutta said, but the laws of God which are beyond this world, that is absolutely not known to you. They told Yamadutta. Just like in a class, a student might have done many mistakes. He might have sometimes not done the homework. Sometimes he must have stolen the pencil of somebody. Isn't it? But one day, if such a rogue, atrocious student has a change of heart and he cries to the teacher and says, "My dear teacher, please forgive me. All these years I have been a rascal and a rogue. Now I promise you that I will be a good student. You have given so much to me, but I have not reciprocated back. Now I promise you that I'll become an ideal student." So even a teacher who is considering punishment on such a student may withdraw back. Even if the teacher took a stick in the hand to beat him up for his atrocious behavior, if she sees a change of heart, then teacher may consider, should I really beat this person? He's having a change of heart. Similarly, Prabhupada says, the chanting of the holy name is like a thief in the jail who is putting a direct petition to the President of India. Even today that system is there. If somebody is put in a jail, they can directly put a petition to President of India and say, "Please release me. I want to serve the nation. I don't want to do all nonsense activities anymore." And the President of India may consider and give him amnesty and release from the jail. Now there are constables standing there. There is a jail keeper. There is a whole police station with the jail and everything, but they all can be completely surpassed. And a man can be released from the jail to live like a citizen. Similarly, all the demigods in charge of the administration of the material universe, and Yamaraj and Maya Devi and all these people are like jail keepers. You know, somebody is giving food to the jail keeper, somebody is giving water supply to the jail keeper, to the thieves in the jail. Somebody is making sure the thieves don't run out of the jail. So these are all, demigods are like that only. And Krishna is the president of the country. If somebody puts a petition straight to Krishna, I have been atrocious all these years, now I have reformed. Please allow me to serve you directly, not indirectly. Then Krishna can give release. President can give release to your thief and let him go out of the jail. So, when Ajamila chanted Narayana, it was like that only. It was a call of the Lord of Vaikuntha. It was not a call of any demigod. It was not a call of the police constable or sub-inspector or somebody who is in charge of the jail. Whereas he called out the name of the Lord, which is beyond his material creation. And immediately became worthy for being forgiven. That is why Yamaraj told them later, Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam na vai vidu hrishayo na pi deva na siddha mukhya asura manushya kuto nubhidhyadhara charanadaya. He said, in this world, dharma changes from one country to another country. For example, in India, if a woman is wandering after 9 o'clock at night, it is considered adharma. Whereas in the West, many women start their day only at 9 o'clock, roaming here and there, going to hotels, parties and everything. In America, it is acceptable. In India, it is not acceptable, isn't it? So one dharma is acceptable in one country. Like you, for example, somebody says, today we are going to celebrate our birthday, we will cut a goat, they say. Isn't that the way they celebrate? And that is considered all right in one community. In another community, even to kill an ant is considered a very great sin. Is it not true? So, what is considered a sin by one group of people may be considered all right by another group of people in this world. Then how do you know what is moral and what is not moral? That is why he says, dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. The ultimate moral principles are given by God in the scriptures. And anyone who breaks it will have to pay the price. That is given by God Himself. For example, we have Rotary Club, Lions Club, and so many clubs they have. These clubs cannot make any policy against the policy of Government of India. Like they can't say, in our organization we don't mind pickpocketing. You know, they can't say that. Or we don't mind stabbing each other. Because that goes against the law of the government. Similarly, God's law is the ultimate law. All other laws are subset of that one supreme law. Some country may make abortions all right, but it's not all right in God's eye. So then a person is punishable, isn't it? So God is surely a lawgiver, which was well known to Yamadutas also. They said it, Veda pranihito dharmaha, adharmastad viparyayaha, Vedo narayana sakshat, they said. Sakshat Narayana has given the Vedic principles. He is the lawgiver. They knew it. But they didn't know Narayana is also a lawgiver. Not only is a lawgiver. For the living entities of the material world, he is a lawgiver. But those who want to strike a relationship with him, he is a lawgiver also. And that truth was revealed by whom? Vishnudutas. And subsequently Yamaraj also. And Yamaraj told them, you don't know. When a living entity wants to strike a relation with Krishna, then he rises above all the petty laws of this material world. He has a direct relation with Lord. And that kind of love is awakened by chanting the holy name. When one chants the holy name, there is a direct connection with God. It's a direct address of a thief to the President of India. It's like that. And such a person goes beyond the jurisdiction of Yamaraj, Yamadutas, Mayadevi, Brahmaji and all the 33 crore demigods in this world. He goes beyond the jurisdiction of all of them and becomes a person eligible to further progress and go back home back to Godhead. So, to understand God as a Lord of love is a very great understanding which is not known to most religions. 99% of the religions, they only know God as a chastiser of the evil. And they think God is here to keep morality and peace and order in the world. That's not the ultimate goal for God. The ultimate goal is to reconnect all living entities back in relationship with them, which is actually done by the medium of chanting of the holy names. That is why Ajamila told his servants, please all of you repeat. Namocharana matrena Hare Pashyata Putraka Ajamilo Pite Naiva Pratyupashada Mucchata. My dear servants and sons, Yamaraj told his people, just see how powerful is the chanting of the holy names of Lord Narayana. He said, Nama Uchcharana Matrena, only by pronouncing the holy name once, Ajamila was saved from Yamapash or Mrityupash. Just by chanting even once, how powerful is this holy name? He would have been bound by the ropes like an animal and taken to the Yamaloka and severely punished for all his nefarious evil activities. But now by just uttering Narayana, he is elevated from that position and given the platform of devotional service to purify his heart and go back to God. This is the power of the holy name. Like that, Yamaraj glorified and illustrated the glory of the holy name to the Yamadutas. In the beginning of the section, in Srimad Bhagavatam 6th canto, Shukadeva Goswami told the verse to Parikshit, for which he spoke his entire pastime. In the beginning he told, Sakrinmana Krishna Padara Vindayor Niveshitam Yad Gunaragi Yairiha Nateyamam Pasha Pratashchatad Bhathan Swapne Pipashyanti Hichirna Nishkrita. He said, those who wear the Kantimala, those who wear the symbols of a devotee of Lord, the Tilak, and those whose mouths are decorated with the chanting of the holy name, those who delight in devotional service, especially chanting of the holy name. For such people, Yamadutas will not even come in their dreams. Nate yamam pasha pritascha tadbatan. They will not find Yamadutas carrying the ropes to catch them. Even in dreams also, what to speak of coming in reality to catch them. This promise was given by Shukadeva Goswami in the beginning. And then to illustrate this principle, he spoke the entire pastime of Ajamila. And he said, this is the power of the chanting of the holy name, because as soon as a living entity surrenders to a spiritual master and accepts, even though he doesn't understand what is this chanting, but he is chanting the holy name, he has immediately put a petition to Goloka company, Krishna's company. My dear Lord, I want to join your company. And he has put another petition to Maya's company. Please give me resignation. Resignation from Maya's company and admission into Krishna's company. As soon as you begin chanting of the holy name. And also depending on our sincerity, seriousness, and with no ulterior motives, if we chant, we progress very fastly. And not only one escapes from the jailkeepers and constables who are ready to beat up the thieves. He not only escapes from them, but he strikes a relationship with the government, which is government is actually Krishna's company's government. So one should know the petty laws of morality in this world are insignificant, like the candles in comparison to the supreme law of Krishna, which is like the sun. And by surrendering to that supreme Lord, one attains all favor. Even though one might have done innumerable mistakes, knowingly, unknowingly, one might have committed so many faults, all one's faults can be wiped out if one surrenders to Krishna with a repentant heart. Harinam Prabhu ki. Let's offer our humble obeisances and to all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord who are just like this, at least for ocean of mercy and full of compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. Pancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya eva cha pratitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha ananta koti vaishnava vrindaki vaishnava thakur ki.